Good morning. Yeah. We are in a new series that we started last week called Renovate. And as I said last week, I know many of us have been involved in renovation kind of projects. I told you that Kim and I bought our home many years ago. It was built in 1924, 25, somewhere right in there. And so it had a lot of renovation to do before we could even step into it and live in it. And so we, several months of renovation. I'll never forget one afternoon I brought the boys over, just us and the boys. We had a crew that were in there that were tearing out the bathroom floor where it had rotted and everything, and it was tearing that all out. And we got in there and we went back there and we wanted to see what was going on. And so we get back there and there's a piece of plywood that's kind of laid over the floor where the floor used to be, you know. And so all the guys just look. We wanted to look under the house because my house is kind of up on, you know, blocks. And so, you know, we wanted to get down there and look in, maybe crawl underneath the house. And so we kind of lifted that piece of plywood board up. And right when we lifted up, a rat kind of ran out from under. We were like killing each other trying to get out of the house. And I told my boys, do not tell your mom. Do not tell your mom. Do not tell your mom. And so we've had that secret for many, many years, and I just shared it with her for the very first time. But I shared with you that as I have been praying in this new year, and as I've been walking over in that building and thinking about the renovation there, that God just began to speak to me and say, Monty, I need to do some renovation in your heart. And I don't know about you, but when you begin to feel that God wants to do those kind of things and he's saying that he needs to do some work in your own heart, it was kind of hard. I'm at an age where I think you get to a certain age in life and you've been following God and you think everything's okay, right? You think, oh, the rooms of your life and of your heart are good. You know, everything's working and efficient and, you know, you feel like you're in right relationship with him. And all of a sudden when he begins to say, no, there's some renovation I need to do, And so the series is really kind of coming out of that, of what he's doing in my own heart, in my own life, in this season of our relationship with one another. And like any renovation project, it's hard and it's painful and it's not easy, right? It can get messy, and there's some old things that he has kind of shared into my heart that he says need to be taken out so that he can bring in new life, a freshness into our relationship with one another. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, Jesus died for everyone so that those who received his new life will no longer live for themselves. And that's, that's part of my struggles, the selfishness, my pride, and those kind of things. He says, instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. And then in verse 17, he says, therefore, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. You know, the demo day has happened in their life. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. I said last week, Jesus wants to bring true renovation, I think even to you today, and every day after. There's no limit to how he wants to use you. There's no place he wouldn't go to free you. He went to the cross so that you could live in his grace. He wants you to live free so that you and I can begin to live out who he designed us to be. And so as we step into this new year, I'm just encouraging all of us to embrace what needs to be renovated in your own lives, in your own hearts, in your own relationships. Because he wants to renovate you so that he can prepare you for more than you could ever ask or imagine. So last week, that first area in my life that he began to renovate, and we talked about it, was I needed to refocus my priorities, to just begin to make sure again that God was first in my life, in every area of my life. You know, in my finances, my interests, my relationships, my service to him and to others, and in my time, and that all of it, that he was first in priority. Not just first on my list, but first in every area of my life. And this week, the area you get to kind of listen to this morning that he's working on in my life, the renovation that's taking place in my life, is he says, Monty, I need to do a reorder of your thoughts. So we're going to talk about this morning to reorder our thoughts. You know, I I wake up every day and try to control my thoughts. And, you know, I pray for God's wisdom in my thinking. I pray for His patience in my thinking. And then I saw this picture a few weeks ago, and I thought, wow, this affirms what God is doing, that there is value in wisdom and patience. Wisdom and patience. And so I just love that, you know. Okay, but do I get him out of my food, or do I just kind of let him go, you know? And so my dog is praying for wisdom and patience there. Wisdom and patience. Here's what I know about thinking. Whatever I think about is what I'm becoming. It's what I'm becoming. Proverbs 23:7 says it this way: as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so he is. So if you don't like the way you're headed in 2018, you got to begin to change what you're thinking about. Change the direction of your thought life. As I've been thinking about this, I begin to look back on my life. I really believe this, every pivotal moment of my life happened when I had a thinking change. When I had a thinking change. I think about salvation in my life. I was just a 12-year-old, but it was when I began to think about who God is and how much He loved me, and because of that understanding, you know, I could hear and receive His call, you know, to come into my life and to be my Lord and be my Savior, and it changed me forever. Changed me forever. I thought about that old saying that says, "You sow a thought, you reap an action." Right? You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a destiny. You sow a destiny, you reap an eternity. So the first is you sow a thought, and when you sow that thought, it will reap an eternity. And that's what happened to me. I was changed forever because of my personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think about even when I began to understand that all girls didn't have cooties. And I begin to have a different thought process on that, you know, and I begin to think, oh, okay, yeah, wow. And I met Kim, and, you know, and I began to ask those questions in my life, you know, could this be the one for me forever? And in that change of thinking, God changed my life forever. I had a coach at University of Florida. It was at a time in my life when I was really struggling athletically, academically, every area of my life, really. I didn't even know why I was there, you know, and I was really struggling with that. And this coach just kind of sat down with me and just began to pour into my life. He just began to talk to me and say, "Monty, you're a winner. You're a winner." And he would say stuff like, "You're going to make a difference in this world, man. You're going to make a difference in this world." And he just began to share those truths in my life, and I really began to see myself differently. I really began to see myself for really probably the very first time, the way that God really saw me. And as I began to think those things and say those things, yeah, I am a winner. Yeah, I can make a difference in this world. It began to change the way I thought about myself. Your life can change if you allow God to renovate the way you think. Or you can say it this way: I will never change my life until I change the way I think. And so in this first part this morning, I want to talk about captivating our thoughts, controlling our thoughts, and kind of the truths of what that really means in our lives, the theology of that, so to speak, in our lives. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have a divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." It's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. It says, we don't have normal weapons. Our weapons are powerful. We don't have guns or knives. We don't need that. We have prayer. We have fasting. We have the sword of the Spirit, God's Word. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel. And Paul says, those weapons that we have as followers of Christ, they have the ability to demolish what Paul calls strongholds. You ever read the word and go, okay, what does that mean, a stronghold? What does that really mean? And the Greek word that's translated as stronghold is the word achurama, achurama. And this word is like, if you can imagine, it's like a castle with a dungeon. It's a prison. And a very literal translation of this is that a prisoner is locked by deception. by deception. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but we did this to a guy at school one time. He was messing with us, and we got tired of him, and so we kind of locked him in this closet at school. And he started banging on the doors, let me out. And he said, no, man, you're in there. Until you straighten up, you're in there. We just kind of walked away, and then in about 10 minutes, he's still screaming. We go back, and we unlock the door, but we don't tell him. We said, no, man, we're just going to be locked in there all day long. And so we went off to class, thinking that he would eventually just open the door and walk out. But he didn't. He just stayed in there, and he didn't think he could get out. He thought he was locked in for all day, and all he had to do was turn the handle. And that's really what this word is about. It's someone who is kind of in a closet, right, that is deceived, believing that there is no way out. And it's a wrong mindset. It's a spiritual trap. And Paul says that we capture the rebellious thoughts, those thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. And I love that. I mean, if you've got a rebellious thought, what do? You capture it. You say, be quiet, rebellious thought. You're going to obey Jesus Christ. Or you've got a critical thought. What do? You capture it and you say, sit down, critical thought. I'm going to teach you to obey Christ. Or maybe it's a negative thought. And you say, just be quiet. A negative thought like, you're no good or you're not enough. And you just say, be quiet. I'm going to teach you and make you be obedient to Christ. So here's where I want you to kind of participate with me this morning. I'm going to give you two questions, and I want you to ask yourself these things. The first one is this: What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? For instance, you might think, I can't get all this done, right? Or maybe you're thinking, I'm not a good enough mom, right? The other mom brought homemade cookies. I went down to Publix and bought store-bought cookies, hashtag loser. Whatever it is, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's I'm always going to battle with this, whatever that is in your life. Or I'm very inconsistent. I'm on again and off again when it comes to my relationship with God. Or Monty, I'm undisciplined. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm just not good enough with people. I'm just an average student. I'm just not enough. Whatever it is, think about those. And I think quite honestly, when your dialogue begins to tip to the negative side, what is it that you're consistently telling yourself again and again? Because this is what I know. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, whatever those are. And then I want you to ask yourself, what spiritual truth will demolish those strongholds, those unhelpful, ungodly thoughts? Like, here's what I struggle with. And then maybe you can, you begin to remember some of God's word. Or maybe somebody, that's why life groups are so important. It's a time when you can sit down around a table and say, this is what I'm really struggling with. And they go, well, hey, this is what God's word says. Or in a men's group. Or just, I'm not enough. And they say, well, God's word says that, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made strong in your weaknesses. You can do all things in God who strengthens you. Or maybe I'm just worrying all the time. And they go, whoa, listen. You can take captive that thought because, listen, God says to cast all your worries, all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And then you experience the peace of God. Or maybe you just need to be reminded of how God sees you like I did. That you have this unconditional, unstoppable, unquenchable love of God. And as you're struggling with whatever that is in your life, just to know that He is with you, that He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. It's really the way of our thoughts. The way of our thoughts. Everything begins with a thought. Everything begins with a thought. And, my life begins to move in the direction of whatever the strongest thoughts are in my mind or in my life. I am very careful about what I will allow to go into my mind, especially at the beginning of my day, because I don't want anything to distract my time alone with God. So no social media until I have spent my time alone with God, right? I had a couple share with me last week that they went home after the priorities message, and you know, they always wake up together in the morning and they watch Fox News, and they said, and this time they said, hey, let's not watch Fox News first. Let's open God's Word and let's listen to the worship songs. And they emailed me and said, it was amazing. It's amazing the time that we had with God. And some of you may do that. Maybe, you know, you wake up and you have a bad attitude or whatever. I heard one person say, you know, I wake up grumpy every day. Every day. I wake up grumpy every day, and then sometimes I let him sleep in. That's good. Come on. That's funny. I deserve better than that, right? This verse here has spoken to me for years and years, and we've been looking at it over the last several months. And it's my prayer that maybe it'll speak to you in a new way, in a fresh way. It's when Paul said this in Romans 12. He said, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God do what? Yeah, let God transform you. Let God change you. Let God transform you into a new person by doing what? Yeah. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. And what I love about this is not me changing me, right? This is God changing me by renewing my mind, by stopping the negative lies and replacing them with godly truth. This isn't me working to change me. This is me working to align my thoughts with God's thoughts. And when I think God's thoughts, God changes me, not into a better version of me, but into a new me, a new person. Let God change you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because like it or not, so much of life isn't about what happens to you, but so much of life is how you think about what happens to you. How you respond to those things that happen to you. It's the way of our thoughts. And then the second is this. It's the second truth is this. The what of my thoughts. What we think will determine, I believe, how we feel. And here's what I know. I think we must have a filter for our mind, a filter for our thoughts. And so this week's challenge is a pretty good, big challenge, but I'm going to challenge us and just say this. Let's just try this week, no Instagram and no Facebook for 1 week, just 1 week, you know, 1 week. No video games, right? Don't kill anybody on your video games for 1 week, just for 1 week. No news or movies or Netflix. And I don't want to get legalistic here, so if you can't completely do that, that's okay, you know, because of work or because of other things, that's okay. But just try this week to get rid of that, as much of that as you can, and replace it with worshiping God through listening to music or reading His Word. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We talked about this in the message of Let There Be Peace, but we need to begin to think about the right things, right? Your mind has this special gift from God. Your mind is capable of storing over 1 trillion thoughts. It can handle enormous things. And you have been given by God the freedom to choose what you think and what you think about. You need to choose what you think about and think about the right things, because what we put in our minds affects our lives. What you think affects the way you feel, and the way you feel affects the way you act. So guard your mind and keep your mind on the right things. I think what Paul is saying is this involves a deliberate, conscious choice to begin to change the channels of your mind. And when a thought comes to your mind, ask, is this true? Is this noble? Is this right? Is this pure? And if it's not, well, then reject it. Reject it. These eight words are eight filters that you can use to make sure you're thinking about the right things. And if you do this, he says, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than anything the human mind can understand. And he says this, he says, his peace will guard your thoughts and mind in Christ Jesus. And that word guard, it's not a, you know, guard your mind. That word peace there, the peace that will, is beyond anything you can imagine, it's not just a sissy peace. It's a word that means it's a warring peace. Not just some sissy peace that comes and says, hi, I'm the peace of God, and I've come to help you with your problems, and, you know, are you worried? Well, don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy. Let's pray about it. I'm the peace of God, and I'm here to transcend all your understanding. I'm going to guard your heart and mind. No. That's not what this word peace really means. It is a warring peace. The peace will come like a warring sentinel and position himself at the doorway of your heart where all your mind, doorway of your heart where all your emotions are swirling around, and the doorway of your mind where all your thoughts are just spinning. And this sentinel stands at the door of our hearts and mind, and he says, get away. Get away. It mounts up a guard for us that is a warring guard. And I struggle. For me, I struggle with what's up here in my mind. I don't know about you, but I create all these weird scenarios, you know, in my mind. And eventually what I have to do is I have to let go of control and give it to God. And in his presence, he lets his peace come over me. And his peace begins to guard my heart and mind. Where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's the what of my thoughts. And then finally, it's the who of my thoughts. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And if your thoughts are full of faith, full of God's truth, well, then you're becoming more like Christ every day. If your thoughts are negative or toxic or polluted, I promise you, you will not live in victory. I promise you, you will struggle in your actions because your thoughts are far from God's truth. Our thoughts, our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so God has used these verses in Romans 8 to really begin to impact me on the way I think about thinking. It says this in verse 5. Five, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about what? Sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Holy Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, and this is important, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. So really, your inner dialogue, it matters so much. How many of you talk to yourself? You have a lot of self-talk. You just have this kind of inner dialogue and conversation that's going on all the time. I do it all the time. I know it's kind of weird. I'm just talking to myself all the time. And sometimes my self-talk can be very pleasing to God. You know, it can be very pleasing to God. Other times, though, my inner dialogue that's going on can be very destructive. So let me just ask you, is your inner conversation that you're having with yourself dominated by sinful, negative, and critical thinking? Or would you say your mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, consistent with God-honoring, Christ-directed thoughts? You see, we need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and control our thinking and our thoughts. It's the who of our thoughts. And so how do we begin to allow God to renovate this area of our lives, to really begin to reorder our lives and our thinking? I just want to give you five very practical things I think you got to have in order for God to begin to really do His renovation project in this area of our lives, reordering our thinking. First is this, you got to have a plan. We need a plan to control our thoughts. I don't know about you, but I need accountability. I need somebody to come alongside of me and continue to hold me accountable and continue to make sure that I'm living out God's call on my life. I need accountability. When my boys were, in high school and going into college, I knew they needed accountability, right? Especially we guys, we need accountability. Those have to make sure that we're only allowing pure thoughts to go into our minds and then into our hearts. And so we need that accountability. And I told my guys, you know, as they went off to college, I said, you need accountability. Someone that's walking in the same direction that you are. Someone that is pursuing the things of God, that are really excited about, how God is changing them and where God is calling them to. You need that kind of accountability. And I wrote each of my boys a letter as they went off to college, kind of a father knows best kind of a letter. And really the best plan I could give them was this. It was just to read the Bible. I said, guys, you need to read the Bible. It will change the way you think. Not just reading it as a discipline, not doing that. I said, guys, I want you to read it and consume it. And if you do that, it will begin to take every negative and awful and demonic and, every word that puts you down and replace it with how God sees you. I mean, it's powerful. There's no other book like this book. This book breathes. This book has a heartbeat. It has power. It has power. 2 Timothy says it this way in 2 Timothy 3. It says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He says every part of Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has called us for. It's powerful. You just need to read the Bible. Begin to hide it in your heart. Hebrews 4 says it this way, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges. It judges what? The thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. We, in 2018, we need to be reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. And not just read the Bible, but let the Bible begin to read you. And I promise you, if you do that, it will begin to mesh with you. It will begin to mesh you up and begin to grow you up. It will hold you accountable. You need a plan. And of course, I shared with you last week that my plan is I read the one-year Bible. And so, I try to do that every day. I don't make it every day. But I try to make it every day. If I don't make it every day, I have some guys tell me sometimes, go, well, I'm trying to read the one-year Bible, and, it'd be like March, and they say, but I'm still in, and still in January, and I got to read like 100,000 verses to catch up to March. Well, no, I don't do that. It's not about being legalistic. It's just start the next day. Just start the next day, and the one-year Bible, it gives you a little New Testament, Old Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. But whatever you can do, if you can just read one verse, if you can just read the Psalms, read the Psalms. If you can just read the Proverbs, in that plan, it's only one sentence. So, I mean, if you can only read one sentence a day, you're too busy. All right, you need to change your schedule. That's a different, But read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read God's Word. It's powerful. And the second thing we need is we need a place. A place. We need a place to kind of think our thoughts. At some place in your day, the world's volume needs to be turned down. You need a place to let God speak to you and for you to speak to Him. A place And what I'm talking about is a place to pray. To pray. A place to have a daily conversation with God. And I know for some of you it can be tough. You know, might I just struggle with praying to God? I don't know what to say to Him. I don't know how to say to Him. And you know, I'm not very good at it. And maybe it's tough for you because you think there has to be a formula you need to follow, you know, that it has to rhyme or whatever. No, it doesn't. Right? There's no formula. Or maybe you think you have to use fancy words or flowery language mixed in with the King James English. My dad used to pray in the King James English. King James English. And it freaked me out. And as I began to try to learn how to pray in group settings and whatever, and I was trying to use those same kind of these and thous, I'm going, God, and God said, no, come on, just talk to me. Just talk to me. A daily conversation with God where you communicate with Him and Him with you. And I know you can do it because you do it every day with other people, right? You're connected with everyone through social media. You text, email, Facebook, Twitter. And so, listen, God doesn't want any more than that. Just a conversation with you about your day. He wants to talk to you. It's not an event. It's not a, you know, it's really a lifestyle where you're going through your day communicating with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray continually. And the only way that we can do that is if we have this ongoing conversation throughout your day. Just a few words here and there. In the halls of your school, in your car, at your desk, in the classroom. Just little conversations with God throughout the day. So if you see me and you come by my office, you're either going to hear me talking to myself or talking to God. You need a place of prayer where you can be still and hear the heart of God. And I love how the psalmist, they didn't have this chamber to retreat to, so they retreated to God. You ever thought about this? They refer to Him as their refuge, their fortress, their ever-present help in time of need. They spoke of Him as the shelter of the Most High and the shadow of the Almighty. But my favorite description might be the hiding place, as they sang this morning. Psalms 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance." Quit hiding from God and begin to hide yourself in Him. Pray. Have a place of prayer. Do it. Just read your Bible and pray. Isaiah 26:3 says, if we do that, God says, you will keep in perfect peace. He will keep in perfect peace all who trust in Him and all whose thoughts are fixed on you, God. Third thing you need is you need a people. We need others around us to kind of stretch our thoughts. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's something healing and restoring when you begin to share with one another, when you begin to confess those things that you're struggling with one another. There's some healing that takes place there. That's why life groups and connect groups and men's group and women's groups are so important. We get with other believers that can point and stretch our thoughts toward God. People encouraging you and cheering you on and saying, hey, you're a winner. Yeah, you're going to make a difference because of God in your life. Challenging you to be better. Challenging you to better thoughts. I'll just say this to you. I cannot do negative people very well. I suffocate around negative people. And so I just try to avoid that, you know, in my life, in my relationships. And so, you know, you get negative, I'm just going to kind of move away because it just kind of cuts my breath off. It's kind of like secondhand smoke. It's secondhand negativity, right? It's kind of. And so I try to find something positive in everything. That's why I hate really to listen to the news and the negative talking heads, because I don't need them controlling how I think and I feel. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Fourth thing we need is a purpose. We need a purpose to kind of land our thoughts I think the healthiest thoughts you can have are thoughts about why you are here and the mission that God has called you to. I sometimes look around at people, and I think the most miserable people I know are not just people that are circumstantially miserable, but the most miserable people I know are those that really don't have a purpose in life. They don't know why they are here. They don't know their purpose. Listen, God's got a purpose for you and for your life. And we need to begin to kind of discover that. Romans 12:2 again says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the way you think. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The things that keep me on track is the fact that I know my purpose on this planet. And you need to discover your purpose. You know, your sweet spot. Begin to use your shade, the way God has created you, with your spiritual gifts and your passions and your abilities, your personality, right? Your experiences. And begin to be used by God in wherever He's called you to, in the career that He's called you to. Begin to discover how God wants you to bring Him glory and to share His good news, share His love with your shape, wherever He's called you to. And then finally, and this is the most important one, I think, for me, as He renovates my heart, is you need a power. You need a power. We need a power to kind of fuel our thoughts so that they can begin to fly and to go forward. Because listen, God is going to challenge you to do something amazing, something significant for Him. But you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it in your own strength. You need Him to be with you, the Holy Spirit to be in you and to be empowering you to live out what He's calling you to do, to live out His purpose for your life. You need His power working in and through you, fueling you toward His purpose for you. In 2018, here's what I want to challenge us with. We must open up our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, empowering us to live out our faith, producing in us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, but producing that in us, convicting us and comforting us and guiding us as we live out the call that He has on our lives. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so you have your thoughts here, but we need His thoughts. We need the power of His Holy Spirit even guiding the way we are thinking. Ephesians 3:20, the great benediction, Paul says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. The power of the Holy Spirit working in us. I read a lot and listen to Greg Rochelle, and he's been doing something over the last few years where he just wakes up every morning and he has a creed that he shares with God, a declaration that he just shares over and over and over again. And so I thought, as I kind of stepped into 2018, that I would try that. And I was kind of hesitant at first. You know, I'm just going to say this over and over and over again. And, you know, but I kind of took some of his declarations, inspired by him, and began to make my own, and began to try to do this. And I want to tell you, it's really beginning to change the way I think about myself and about my relationship with God. And so I'm just going to read my daily declarations to you and encourage you to maybe write your own and just to try this next week, every day. So these are mine. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify Him. I love my wife and will lay down my life to serve her. My children love God and serve Him with their whole hearts. I choose to obey God and His Word. I depend on truth and not my feelings and my emotions. I wake up with purpose, direction, and gumption every day of my life. I would love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love people and believe the best about others. I will value others above myself. I am disciplined. I will do my best today. I will seek to fulfill the role God has given to me, not someone else's. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I do not look down on my own weaknesses. I rejoice in them and use them as opportunities for God to display His powers, powerful strength in me. I will abide in Christ and let Him abide in me, so I will bear much fruit. I have the mind of Christ, therefore I act in a way that is consistent with His actions. I choose to grow closer to Jesus every day. I am called to make disciples. I am content with who I am and what I have. I will live each day in the light of eternity. I will be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I will honor God with my body. My words, my thoughts, and my imaginations are under the power of Christ. I will take my thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I will guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I will be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry, and quick to forgive. I will rejoice and be glad because this is the day that the Lord has made. The world will be different and better because I serve Jesus Christ today. I am a servant of the Most High God. And that's why, with all the excitement and gumption that I can share with you, I would love for you to invite you to join me in going before God each and every day and asking Him to change us into a new people by changing the way we think. The way we think. Not locked in a closet by some lie, but set free by His truth. Because you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when you and I begin to declare it over and over again, you might just get to the place where you begin to believe it. I mean, Satan is the father of lies, but Jesus is the author of truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. So will you do that? Will you ask God to begin His renovation project in your life, in your heart? Begin to do His reordering of your thoughts. Begin to change the way you think. Pray with me, please. Father, today I just come to you and I ask you to inspire some people here in this room who are serious about living for you to, God, just begin to seek you first in their life and to seek you honestly and openly and transparently. God, empower us to hear from you and God, begin to declare your truth in a way that will change our minds. And we begin to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And that we would please you, God, in all that we do. If you're here this morning and that's the beat of your heart, that's what you want to do this year, to begin to honor God in the way that you think and begin to declare His truth in a way that will change your mind and begin to conform you into His image, into the image of Christ. If you would say, Monty, that's what I want to do. You know, that maybe I've been negative in my inner conversation and I want that to change. That's unacceptable to me. It doesn't please God. Or, Monty, this year I want my thoughts to begin to honor God more. I want my mind to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this year, I will faithfully pursue God until He changes the way I think, begins to renew my mind. If that's a prayer, your prayer this year, would you just kind of lift your hand so I can join you in prayer and say, together we will begin to walk in that direction, praying for one another and just asking God to help us. Yes, thank you. Father, you know the hearts of the people in this room this morning, and I just pray, God, that you begin to speak to us and God begin to draw us into a more intimate, closer relationship with you. God, we begin to seek your Holy Spirit to empower us and to control the way we think. That we would think about the things of above and God, that we will filter our thoughts to make sure that they are right and true and pure and admirable, Father, and praiseworthy and worthy of excellence. God, help us as your people, as you begin to reorder our thoughts. God, so that we can step into this new year, into our families, into our relationships, our marriages, at the workplace, on the school campuses, God, and begin to be different because of you doing your renovating work in our lives. Refocusing our priorities and reordering our thoughts, oh God, to be focused on you. You first and you alone. Maybe you're here this morning and God's Spirit is calling you into a first-time relationship with Him. Maybe you know God, but you've never surrendered everything to Him and received Him as Lord and Savior. That's the beginning of changing the way you think and allowing God to begin to transform you by the renewing of your mind. So if that's you this morning and you've never accepted Him and received Him as Lord and Savior, you can do that right now just by saying, God, come in. God, forgive me of my sins. Change me. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Father, hear the prayers of your people here in this room today and change us, Father. Bring us into relationship with you. Strengthen our walk in relationship with you, God, and with others. May we be your people, God, as we step into this new week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.